Well, if you've been joining us for the past several weeks, you'll know we are in the middle of a series about, it's called the FM Way, and it's just about the values and tenets of us as a denomination. So we have a video about this week's value called Life-Giving Holiness. So take a watch.
Life-giving holiness.
Life-giving holiness.
Life-giving holiness.
Life-giving holiness.
Life-giving holiness
is a grace-filled invitation to abundant life.
Life-giving holiness is this intimacy with God, where you want to know the heart of God.
To step into holiness is really to step into God's path.
It's a daily dedication to living out the will of God in our lives.
Growing up and being like, oh, to be holy is to be perfect. But I think for a person to be holy or a place to be holy doesn't necessarily mean perfection.
Traditionally, I think a lot of Christians have led with what you can't do. You can't do this, you can't do that.
Sometimes you have to learn to unlearn to learn again. There has to be a transformation, right, of the caterpillar to the butterfly, where God wants you to see it from a different perspective.
It is this invitation to living life the way that God always intended us to.
We were designed to live a life of holiness. So when we're doing what we were designed to do, that's where the joy comes in, you know, where we don't have to do it. God's doing it, you know, because He lives inside of us.
Just stepping into those values and figuring out, okay, what are ways I can be more like Jesus today?
God is not a religion, it's a relationship with God, which compels you
to live lives of love for each other and for God. And so that's life-giving.
Think about in Genesis where they walk with God in the cool of the day. And so holiness for me is reaching my hand out and say, God, hold my hand.
It transforms you from being sorrowful to joyful. It transforms your outlook.
As Free Methodists, you know, we are a tribe that wants to see the freedom that we experience experienced by all people everywhere. And so this life-giving aspect of who we are as Free Methodists, I think, is a significant part of the Free Methodist experience.
Thank you. When I met Ryan this morning, he said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah. And he said, you in charge? I said, I ain't in charge of nothing. But come to think of it, I don't see Connie, so technically I am the most senior pastor here today. I'm not sure. Lena, how old are you? Not as old as me, baby. Not as old as me. I just get to meet Jesus first, praise the Lord. Well, it is good to be together, and as Tim said, we're continuing this series on who we are as a Free Methodist people, and really what identifies us. You know that AI, artificial intelligence, is kind of all the buzzword right now. In fact, I opened my computer program to start writing my notes for my sermon the other week, and it came up with this thing, this AI thing, and it said, how can we help you? I said, you can write a 25-minute sermon about holiness. And it did. And I met Jesus. It was beautiful. No, actually, you'll know I don't preach from AI because this was the opening sentence that it had written, okay? It said, beloved friends, today we gather in reflection and anticipation, drawn together by a simple yet profound call to live a holy life. Well, that is grand. It doesn't sound like me. So maybe I got to get a different software program, or maybe I'll just actually keep doing the work and see what God has for us. Maybe the Holy Spirit works through the AI. I don't know. So I want to think this morning first about holding hands. If you're here with a spouse or a sweetie, you can reach over and hold their hand. You may remember when you were married there in front of the pastor and the people, you held hands. There's something about love and beauty there. I remember as a kid, we would play a game called Red Rover. Do they still allow this to be played? It's too violent, probably. Where we would hold, you go around?
No, it's played on the underground.
Oh, there's a black market playground? That would explain why your kids met me with shanks at the door. Holy, no, where you would hold hands at a line and there's another line and you'd say, send the slowest runner over, and if they broke through your ranks, they became your POW or something. It was a horrible game, really. But as a kid, you had to think, who am I holding hands with? Do they got too many cooties or whatever, you know, and you'd have to shift your line there. Or I think of as a parent, and if you're a parent or grandparent, you've probably done this one as well. If you walk into a store with lots of distractions, what do you say to the children? Hold my hand. That's right. Or if you're going to cross the street or you're near a danger, hold my hand. Let's hold hands. Right? I was going to use Mike as an example because he hadn't been here for a few weeks, but he was wise and is taking the offering. So I have to use Tim. Tim, you come be my visual aid, would you please? Because sometimes, just like at the beginning of life, sometimes towards the end of life, with a senior, we'll take their hand to help them as well. In holding hands, there's something intimate about that. There's something close. There's a community, whether it's a loving handhold, a team building, a parent to a child, helping someone. There's an intimacy, a closeness that comes about in that. I think that's even why we have the tradition of shaking hands. You know, it's a brief handhold, a way of showing solidarity and safety and closeness to each other. I think that when we talk about life-giving holiness, it's really about saying, God, hold my hand. You heard that in the video from Bishop Martin. I love that image. Holiness is really just holding God's hand. It is the daily dedication to living out God's plan for our lives. Bishop Martin talked about that image of God with Adam and Eve walking in the garden. That beautiful intimacy, that closeness, that companionship. And then, of course, we know that nothing separated them, but then Adam and Eve sinned. They broke the rules. They disobeyed what God had said. And in that instance of rebellion, they became overwhelmed with fear and shame, such that when God came to the garden for that time of intimacy, they hid. And it is even so today. Our sin drives us into the darkness, literally and metaphorically. It separates us from one another and from God by our fear and by our shame. It drives a wedge between me, a sinful, broken person, and a holy God. But we're still called to holiness. How do we restore that divide? How do we come back to be able to not live in the shadows and the shame and the darkness, but with a holy God in a relationship where we walk hand in hand with Him? This Free Methodist Way we've been talking about, because of scheduling and logistics, we've actually done it kind of out of order. Life-giving holiness is the first tenet of our Free Methodist way, and rightly so, because if we are not in right relationship with God, all the rest is nothing more than a fraternal organization or a service club. You know, multiplication and cross-cultural living and service, they're all great. But it is intended that it springs from a heart, a life, a faith walk of holiness, of being restored in a right relationship with a holy God. And so just pretend that today is the first of the month. Oh dear, that means we got to live August all over again. No. But understand the context of what we have been talking about this month. It all really springs from our holiness with God. So our text for today comes from 1 Peter in the New Testament. And if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn there. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13 through 16, Peter says, writes this: "So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you are His children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be His children, is holy. For He Himself has said, 'You must be holy because I am holy.'" Now let's be honest though, that word holiness is a pretty loaded term. It can be used in derision, "Oh, you're so holier than thou." It can be used to divide people. It can be used to make us feel inferior. How am I supposed to make myself holy just because God says He's holy? And we try. Throughout history, we try. 150 years ago or thereabouts, the holiness movement in the Protestant church was sweeping the country. We as Free Methodists historically are a part of that holiness movement. And it had great value in focusing us back on a God who has the power to transform, of a God who calls us to be holy just as He is holy. But as we see that happens throughout history, when we put our focus on holiness, it can easily descend into rule-keeping. I mean, look even farther back in the pages of the New Testament when the Jewish Pharisees, they sought to be holy. And the easiest way to do that from a human perspective is to keep the rules. And so they had rules about everything. When to wash your hands, how to eat, how to prepare the food, where to walk, what I can do. I don't know about you, but I'm a rule follower. I like rules. And there's value to rules because they tell me when I'm safe and in the boundaries. But rules also can often just be used to point out who's breaking the rules, who's outside of my circle, who is to be ostracized, shamed, rejected, punished. So rules can be helpful, but what we find is that when we embark on this journey of holiness and we lose sight that holiness is really about God's working in me, it becomes about rules, and we proliferate rules and guidelines, and as life and technology and circumstances change, we just come up with more rules, and eventually, how do you remember all those rules? And surely you're going to violate them, and does that mean that you're no longer holy? It all gets lost in this proliferation of rules. And in the process, holiness becomes boring. It becomes oppressive. It becomes punitive. It becomes fear-based. But holiness is not intended to be a burden. Rather, it's a gift. Holiness really is a gift that liberates us for life. It frees us from the destructive power of sin. That's why God calls us to be holy, not just to point out that we aren't, but so that we might be restored with Him. And it's God's work, it's God's offer in our lives that allows it to even be possible that I can be holy. That's why I especially like the way that it's been phrased in the FM way, life-giving holiness. Sometimes we think of holiness as soul-sucking, but this is life-giving. Because I'm freed, I'm liberated from the sins, the shame, the fear, the shackles, that I might live into all that God is, all that God has for me. It's not about these man-made rules, it's about holding God's hand on the journey of life. Holiness, you see, is the fruit of full surrender to God. It's surrendering to a loving reign of God in my life and over every aspect of my life. Holiness is not just an add-on. It's not just a nice option. It's not just something I do on Sunday mornings. It becomes who I am and how I live because I walk in the hand of my Father, in that closeness, in that intimacy, in that support, in that strength. Sometimes I think even in the church we lose sight of holiness and think more of God as focused on sin management. God is not concerned about sin management. What I mean by that is it's not that I can just come, say I'm sorry I sinned, but then go back out and live the way I was living, make the choices that I was making, because I know I can come back next week or next month or next year and say, God, I'm sorry again. Yes, God forgives. We don't want to downplay that at all. And it is all His grace and His gift. But He doesn't want to just manage our sin. He wants to transform who we are and how we live so that we might be in a restored and right relationship with Him. And God accomplishes all of that in us as we respond to His grace. You know, you can read 1 Peter and it says, be holy because I'm holy, and feel like, oh, I got to go out and do it all on my own. It's all about the rules and following the rules. And if I do that, I can say, well, I'm holy like you, God. Don't misunderstand that. Holiness is a part of God's grace. And by God's grace, we mean He extends the power, the invitation, the ability that is beyond myself and that I don't deserve to make it possible. But He's not going to make me holy against my will. Don't worry. Don't be afraid that you're going to be out committing heinous sin and crime and suddenly God will strike you holy. I have to press into that process. I have to respond to what God is doing. I have to say yes to Him and hold His hand. So how do we do that? How do we respond to God's grace? Four things I want us to focus on this morning that are part of that process, I think. Of living a holy life, holding God's hand. And the first is to read God's Word. Reading God's Word, going back to the source material, reminds us of God's love for us, of God's process, of the sins that have separated people from God from the beginning of time, of how rebellion whether it's eating from the tree you're not supposed to, whether it's coveting or hurting others, all of those, we're reminded, this is what separates us from God. But we also hear that redemptive story. We see God's grace played out through history, how he was willing, because of his love for us, to come as Jesus Christ, God the Son, to pay the penalty for my wrongdoing. And he dwells with us as God the Spirit to empower us day by day to live into that holy relationship with him. Don't just take my word for it, or because you saw it on a flannelgram as a kid, or just because it's culturally acceptable. Read God's word, hear it, know it, study it, understand it, and see yourself in that unfolding of God's grace. God speaks to us in lots of ways, but through his word. Fancy word for that is prevenient grace. That even before you knew there was a God, he was reaching out to you because of his love for you. And he was extending his grace and love that would even make it possible for you to come to hear of him and know him. So we read God's word. But we also talk with God. Sometimes we call that prayer. But don't misunderstand, this is not some high and holy thing of saying the right words. It's a conversation. It's talking with God. It's hearing from him and sharing our needs. But in this process of responding to God's grace, it's about relationship. Just as we talked about the intimacy, the closeness, the community that comes with hand-holding. So in healthy relationships, there's conversation. There's talking. There's an intimacy that comes with that sharing. And in this prayer, in this talking with God, we can cry out earnestly and persistently for God's grace. God, help me to understand what I don't even understand. God, draw me to yourself. Do your work in my life. Seek him. Sometimes the best prayer is, God, I don't even know what's next. But when I will yield myself like that, that's a prayer he will answer, that he hears. So know God's story. Talk with God. But then I think our third thing I want to focus on is the need to surrender. Remember, I said that holiness, God does the work of making us holy, but I have to work with him. And that is, I surrender. Giving all that I am, all that I have, so that I might receive all that he wants for me and all that he has for me. For many of us, this happens in an instant. Sometimes in the midst of a crisis, maybe when you are at life's bottom and relationships and others have all let you down or you've let them down, and in that moment of crisis, God in his grace finally gets your attention and you cry out and say, I'm sorry, I surrender all that I am. I want Jesus. Others, for of us, that's kind of a process that develops and leads up to that moment. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class or at a church camp or at grandma's kitchen table or with a friend or in the quiet of your own bedroom on your knees. But there is a time where I choose to surrender all that I am and all that I have to God. Not surrender in that I give up, well, in a way, I give up my selfish way of life. I give up thinking I can do it on my own. God, I want more. I want more. I want all that you have for me. I want you in my life. Now, our Free Methodist tradition, if you look at history, it kind of springs out of a movement largely from the 1700s, God used a man named John Wesley to kind of refocus the culture and community on God's call to holiness. And so he used a phrase called sanctifying grace. Again, God's grace to us that I don't deserve, that makes it possible that I can be forgiven and sanctified. Now, I looked up sanctified because that's kind of a $5 churchy word. And it says to be made holy. Remember, I said God's not in sin management. If it was, he would have just offered saving grace. But the fact that he offers sanctifying grace means that he intends for us to be transformed. He is a God who wants to not let us just wallow in the mud of our sin, but allow us to be new people, new creations, living, walking with him hand in hand, able to be restored, rightly to be restored into that holiness relationship with him. And he offers that in his sanctifying grace. God freely gives us that ability to be made holy in this life. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's some kind of magic wiggle my nose and I become a God myself. It's not that I, like Scientology, can pay enough and study enough and I suddenly attain some super master level where now you have to call me your holiness. You can do that for free. I'll let you do that. No. While we may come to Christ and surrender ourselves in a crisis in a moment, it's about the day-to-day. It's about holding God's hand and walking in this transformative relationship with him. Sanctifying grace is both in that moment and in that process for the rest of my life. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are sanctified. But each day brings new challenges to life and to faith. And daily I must continue to give everything to God. Daily I must choose to hold his hand. Now don't mishear me. I'm not saying that, we also believe in what we call assurance of salvation. Meaning you don't have to wake up tomorrow and say, oh, does God still forgive me and love me? Yes, he does. God is not going to turn his back on you. I can turn my back on God. And that's why the day by day, holding his hand, moving into that holiness, I am still physically and mentally capable of sinning. But why would I? When God in his grace has set me free and I am holding his hand and he is guiding me and I'm walking with him, I realize that life with him in a holiness living is far better than any sin or selfish desires that the world would offer. As Wesleyans, we have another $5 word of... I didn't have $5 left. I can't remember it. Entire sanctification, that's it. Entire sanctification. And again, it's not some magic wand or level of attainment you can buy. It is instead describing that because I choose to walk hand in hand with God, my love, my focus has been made holy. Yes, I'm still capable of sin, but why would I? I want to love God and love others with all that I am, all that I have, because God is holy and he's made it so I can be as well. That's the journey that God in his grace calls us to. And it's not just for free Methodists. I mean, this is what God's word says. But it is a unique defining part of our story and history. And what God invites you to do as well, of walking hand in hand with him in a way that transforms who I am, who you are, so that I'm not just wallowing in the muck and mire of sin, and someday I hope to cross the pearly gates and arrive at holiness. God says, walk with me now in this life and be transformed. Be my son, my daughter, into a hurting and broken world that needs to see holiness, a perfect love lived out. John Wesley, that dude who God kind of used to remind us of this, he had a prayer called the Covenant Prayer. That if we pray this every day, it helps to remind me to hold God's hand. Now, maybe you haven't seen it, but out in the lobby, there's a series of pamphlets, one for each of these five aspects of the Free Methodist Way. You may want to pick those up. It's, I think, available online as well at the Free Methodist Church USA. But I found it helpful because this one on life-giving holiness, it has John Wesley's Covenant Prayer. I know it's too small to read there, so I'm going to read it for us. But this is a way of daily choosing to hold God's hand. It says, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, oh, wonderful and holy God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be also made in heaven. Amen. That idea of covenant, you know, probably the closest we have to it is a contract. But we know there's lots of ways to get out of contracts. A covenant is a binding agreement. We talk about the marriage covenant. And if you read, especially in the Old Testament, some of the covenants between people and God, I love the ones where they would take a bunch of animals, cut them in half, and lay them open and walk through that. It's kind of a symbolic sign of the covenant. I tried it with the chicken quarters in my freezer, and nothing happened. Well, I should say nothing. I lost the deposit for my carpet. But a covenant, it's deeper than just an agreement or a business contract. It is this covenant that we have with God because He's initiated it in His grace. He is always there and ready. But just as this prayer says, basically, in everything, in nothing, I give all that I am to you. And that's a daily choice, sometimes an hour-by-hour choice I have to make, and not one that I always do well. But God restores us, continues to transform us as I press in and hold His hand. So don't think of life-giving holiness as just a bunch of rules. Think of that beautiful image of holding your Father's hand because He wants to protect you and guide you, love you, transform you, live in relationship with you. And it is possible, friends. I want us to pray, and maybe for some of you, this is new information. And maybe God, in His prevenient grace, has been reaching out to you and you're hearing Him and you say, yeah, I am ready to surrender, to give up my sinful, selfish ways for all that God has for me. We can do that today. And maybe others of us who've been walking that journey of faith for a long time just need to say afresh today, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to keep that covenant. Or maybe we need to be reminded and come back into living in that covenant relationship with Him. We can do that today. So why don't we talk to our holy God? Holy God, thank you. Thank you that even while you are holy and we have fallen so far short, you haven't just washed your hands of us. You haven't abandoned us. You haven't said no. But instead, because of your love for us, you continue to reach out. You continue in your grace to make it even possible that we can be in relationship with you. You've done everything because of your love for us. Today, may we lean in to your grace. For some of us, that might mean saying, I surrender. And you can do that in talking with God by simply saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how my selfishness and my self-centeredness has separated me from your perfect plan for me, from our relationship. And while I can barely tolerate myself, how can I forgive myself? May I know that you forgive me. That Jesus Christ, because of what he did, took the penalty for my wrongdoing. That ledger can be wiped clean. That you don't hold it against me, God. But you don't just leave me there and say, well, good luck. Your grace that wants to transform and deliver me says, I don't have to keep living that way. That I can be made right with God now and through this life and in eternity with you. God, may we reach out to take the hand of the Father. May we reach out and let the Spirit take our hand to guide us, to protect us, to remind us that we are in right relationship with you. Today, and then again tomorrow, and probably again tomorrow afternoon, may I remember that covenant that I can be just like my Father in heaven. I can live with perfect love in a holiness, not only in how I interact with you, but with how I treat others and myself. Where I fall and stumble, forgive me and pick me up, and remind me that your hand is outstretched. All I've got to do is reach out to walk with you into this life-giving holiness which transforms the rest of my days and my eternity. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love that makes that even possible. In Jesus' name, amen.